When Samuel Rutherford died in 1661, nobody could have known that his greatest work for Christ had not yet started. He wrote 365 letters, which Spurgeon held were the nearest thing to inspiration that can be found in all the writings of mere men. This extravagance, you might think, but a respectable judgment. During Rutherford's lifetime, about 20 of his books had reached the press, but the most influential of them was not published until 1664, 3 years after he had gone to Christ. It would surprise me enormously if this book has ever been out of print, and if it has ever been out of print, perhaps for a year or two, I'm sure it's always been easily available. And if you've never read Rutherford's letters, you've really missed a spiritual feast. And if you decide to read them after this talk tonight, you've now got a bonus, because a lady called Faith Cook has written two little books which will add to the feast. What do we know about Samuel Rutherford? Well, he was born near Jedburgh on the Scottish border in the year 1600. His father appears to have been a fairly prosperous farmer. There were two brothers, James and George, and Samuel was sent to Edinburgh University when he was nearly 18. When the year 1621 came and he would be about 21 years old, he was awarded the MA degree. There's enough evidence to suggest to us that he was not converted to Christ until he himself was 24 years old. Rutherford himself continually bemoaned the fact that he had wasted his youth, and he meant by that he'd lived it without Christ. Like John Knox, he was one of that covenanting band of men who were always praying, "Oh God, give us Scotland." His bit of Scotland was Anwath. It's about 30 miles southwest of Dumfries, and it overlooks the Solway Firth. It was in the middle of nowhere then, and the roofless church is still in a rather attractive rural setting today. Samuel Rutherford had a real thirst for souls, and as pastor of that church from 1627, he set about the task of building a congregation where there wasn't one. He tramped the hills, he witnessed to the shepherd boys, he visited the lords of the manor in their homes, and every other social group in between. And Marcus Sloane sums up the result of his work like this: Anwath became the spiritual centre of the southwest of Scotland. But it was while he was at Anwath that his wife died. His two children died, and his mother, who came to live in the church house to help him out during all these problems, did not live long either. And then the authorities put him on trial for his Presbyterianism. They said he would not conform by accepting bishops and the English prayer book. So his next 22 months were spent in prison in Aberdeen, Christ's Palace in Aberdeen, he called it. Suddenly, public events took a turn in favour of the gospel. Scotland seemed to erupt. An important scene to remember happened on the 23rd of July 1637, when they first tried to force the use of the English prayer book in St Giles Church, Edinburgh. Now that's on the Royal Mile, for those of you who know Edinburgh. A poor local stallkeeper called Jenny Geddes threw her stool at the dean, and hit him, by the way, and a riot ensued. And the political and religious changes which followed gave Rutherford his freedom. One of the results of this was that he became Professor of Divinity at St. Andrews University. And then in 1643, when of course he would be 43 years old, he was chosen to be one of the five Scottish commissioners to go to London to help to draw up the Westminster Confession of Faith and all the associated documents. After 10 years as a widower, he had remarried in 1640, and before he set off for London, two children had been added to his family. His task in London was very important, and he spent 4 years working very hard at Westminster. But his wife Jean had to write with the sad news that both of those children had also died. London showed him to be an intellectual gladiator. He was very opposed to those he called false teachers. Now, this is where you can find his faults if you want to. He could be too fiery, too dogmatic, even in legitimate debate. He spent the last 14 years of his life at St. Andrews in Scotland, and he made it a condition of taking the post of principal there that he should be free to preach every Sabbath. "I have had enough of dumb Sabbaths," he said, "silent Sabbaths while I was at Aberdeen. No more of them, thank you." But the political pendulum swung again in 1660. The Royalists took power. Rutherford's hated book, Lex Rex, that's Latin for the law and the king, was burnt by the public hangman in Edinburgh, and copies were taken to be burnt outside Rutherford's window at St. Andrews. I'm sure they were hoping he'd get the smell. And I'm sure if he hadn't died naturally on the 30th of March in 1661, he might well have died as a martyr. So passes from the scene one of the saints of the Scottish Second Reformation. To us he leaves those letters. And what are we to learn from his life? I've got three things to suggest to you. The first, do not waste your youth. You have no right to say you have not come to Christ because you were not predestined. God commands all people everywhere to repent. Acts 17 verse 30. Now. Secondly, write letters. The value of Rutherford's letters is that they throb with love for Christ, and they apply gospel truth in practical situations. Bereavement is a particularly good example of his skill in comforting people. And as Christmas and birthday presents perhaps looming in some people's minds, why not pass on a copy of Rutherford's letters to those you know who don't have them? The Banner currently has a book intended for the gift market. It's called Grace in Winter, and it's beautifully produced. I'll show you a copy after if you ask. But whatever you do, don't forget Samuel Rutherford.